Thank you, Lord, for those here and not those today. We thank you that you promised to be with us always. Today and all days we give you our hearts, our lives and our minds. Guide our thoughts. Speak to us now. Broaden our thinking and transform our understanding. You are a wise counselor, perfect teacher and faithful servant. Extend our comprehension of you. Our actions when we leave this place. Right, here you go then, thanks. Well, first of all, many of you know, or may not know, we have a paid job outside. It involves lots of writing of contracts and business, lots of legal language and things. And one of the most common Latin phrases still used in our job, caveat emptor, which means let the buyer beware, meaning we give no ultimate warranty of satisfaction with the product. So for the next few minutes, with no guarantees, and no shooting the message after two, it doesn't quite live up to expectation. But we will do our best to get through today's message as best we can. Which the passages today tell us all about God's great mercy, enormous love and grace, and his wealth of promises and provision, even at times if we don't deserve it or don't realise it. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a bit of a sucker for a good good rom-com movie. The fundamental principle of a good rom-com movie is that the film's primary comedic tension derives from a central romantic relationship. Takes you to a different, but usually nice warm place. A slice of comedy fiction, both some light-hearted, humorous plot lines, centered on romantic ideas, such as true love, and how it is able to have its ups and downs, but ultimately surmounts its obstacles. Personally, I like none better than The Bachelor. For those who have seen it, you'll know it has a few rude moments that don't let up what you've seen if you've not seen it before. But interestingly, it opens up with people meeting each other at Heathrow Airport. And then it does the same again at the end with the screen ever closing in on itself. So by the time you get to the closing song is done, there are thousands of pixels of people greeting, saying hi and hugging each other. Parents and children, old friends, new friends, lovers, etc. One of the lead actors, Hugh Grant, also reminds us that this that as far as we know it, and its life was sadly and awfully down as a part of 9/11 all those years ago. All the last calls made by everyone on those planes were not words of hate, but expressions of love for one another, sons, daughters, wives, husbands, etc. All of a sudden, for a moment, the world could seem a little bit more warm and kind and better, and less at war, less bigoted, so it becomes a bit easier to sleep, knowing that there's a good out there, and all can be well, and tomorrow there's another day of hope. If that can be the power of a single film, then what more can the knowledge of God's great love and provision do, or should be? Psalm 136 will be verse 8. We are read and we are told that God's love endures forever. And then, in some 26 verses, lists what the writer of the psalm presumably considered to be the attributes of God's enduring love, and why, in the words of the enduring prophets, the vision old enough to me, but not to be my age away, had many reasons to be cheerful. The Oxford English Dictionary defines mercy as refraining from infliction or suffering by one who has right and power to inflict it, and to give compassion. The Oxford Dictionary defines love as warm affection, benevolence, charity, sexual passion, sweetheart, to admire passionately and to delight in. Too often these days, it seems, love is solely and ultimately equivalent to sex alone. He values the word and its ultimate meaning, its true and full worth, and certainly in the context of the psalm. for wonder and amazement of God's total love that is explained here by our writer. Love, it would seem to me, goes hand in hand well with mercy. Depending on the translation version you read, according to Google, love is mentioned some circa 684 times in the Bible. Mercy is some 174. That seems a lot of times to me, and therefore not seem that it's meant to be there by accident. What's even more, going back to my early rom-com movie, as good as I might think the film is, the word love only appears in there some meager 23 times in comparison. So I took to you again, as good as maybe as a form of entertainment, it's even the goodness, the warmth, the all is well. It's actually in comparison, in reality, that it's also generally, and those of us that believe now, that kind of love being talked about in the song. I don't think you have a childhood hero or sweetheart. Here we give a few facts away. And I'd ask you to reveal Jesus the devil about that. But maybe it's about their beauty, their strength, or how smart they were. For me, newsflash, one of my early crushes at school was a domino, I seem to recall, with long golden hair. Clearly never ever came to this, and I'm not sure I even said boot to her at the time. More recently, my four godkids have become the biggest loves in my life. They incredibly look forward to having them. And there is this incredible simpleness in the relationship too. Might get a little more interesting when they grow up, I'm sure. Not least for me, when the potential expectations come from them on the bigger rise, rather than just the teacups or little wheels. But there is an incredible simpleness, an unconditional love. If they tell you I love you, in our song today, we are told, and told, and told, that it's God's love that endures forever. And we will see this as something monotonous, or I propose is meant to be there, and the directive means to hold your attention and centre your thoughts. In the opening verses, we are told to give thanks, for he is good, the God of gods and Lord of lords. In verses 10 to 21, there is witness to God's great power and promises, who have ultimately been the early Israelite family. Speaks of God's promises then and to us now still. Verses 5 to 9, parts of the world come into being as set out in more detail early in the Bible in the book of Genesis. Verse 24, we are told we can be free from our enemies. Which again to me, I think it's not just talking about the world and those that may want to harm us, but it's talking about a whole array of possible things that may pull us down and separate us from God. All of which will be different to each of us in this room. By name, verse 25, we are told God's provision that is food to everyone. In Jewish circles, this psalm is called the Great Hallel, and is recited and recited at Passover. For a moment, that will make it seem easy though. But I realise, as much as anyone, it's not quite that simple. Throughout history, we've had some great persons. One of them being Nelson Mandela, who made these quotes. It's in your hands to make a better world, all who live in it. And overcoming poverty is not just a task of charity, it's an act of justice. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Both of these men had an incredible life and faced some amazing challenges. Nelson Mandela, as we know in particular, was in prison for many years and treated terribly. Yet when he came out and was made responsible for forming the first post-apartheid government, it wasn't about revenge or getting one back into taxes. It was about a genuine reconciliation. It would seem a genuine look to do good by his fellow man and woman, despite all the horrible things that happened to him in the years leading up to it. Even to the extent of potential upset excepting some of his early supporters who did see it as an opportunity to get one back on the side. Matthew, in our gospel reading today, to me takes all these readings from 1:26 a little further. If God's love endures forever, then why should we worry? Verse 6 tells us that the birds of the air do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Then in verse 27, he said, why worry? For how can we add a single life outside life? Whilst we went to grow anything, it does seem like I quote my mum more often than I used to. And I'm not sure if that's a sign of age or realisation. Actually, she's probably got a few things wrong. One thing your mum consistently says is words to the effect of not to worry, to worry about today, not to worry about tomorrow, as God's book guides and take care of tomorrow. Before finishing off my critique of today's gospel reading for you, I'll go back to a point made a few moments ago. As I write this talk, an old men's book is looking at me, entitled The Wife, with a huge emoji, smile after it. And I'm sitting in my favourite seat, and in my favourite part of the house. Yes, we all have them. They're maybe not to the same extent as Sheldon, possibly, for those of you who see the Big Bang. I'm also surrounded by pictures of some of those closest to me over the years and now. The godkids have already mentioned. There's also family, including those no longer with us, and some of the closest old scouts that we took all the way through. That doesn't mean life has necessarily been plain sailing. My brother and I lost our first month of cancer. Probably curable now, but not then. Well before that seems. Some 10+ years ago, but relatively more recent times, we lost a grand and a dad who were amazingly big and strong characters, both me and my brother and the wider family. Whilst not married, we have experienced the pains of both. My time with a certain organisation did not quite end in a glorious finish, but I was advised and hoped after many years of service. It caused some considerable damage, but in 2020, for someone that considered themselves pretty fit on the whole, we had a long in hospital stay. And we too have those feelings, of rejection, low worth, and not being able to. Not being good enough by not being able to work. Beyond my own life, we have the current horrors of war and earthquake still, as both in the news at present. There are often discussions to be had with often strong views firmly held on both sides. Often held in genuine good faith, but which nevertheless can be the third place of our one party or another, such as our LGBT. And if you have nothing to eat tonight, or nowhere to sleep, or cannot clothe your children, or heat your home, again, it becomes very hard to say, do not worry. I myself support a Christian organisation called Compassion. I've done it for some 20 years now. And I don't doubt it's the only Christian-based charity or non-Christian-based charity. One of two supports and things the Bible, but also health and education to young people around the world, which otherwise, if not to be in these projects, they'd subject all sorts of unspeakable horrors. Here's in the letters and the smiles and the photos of the good work being done. Current support an amazing young child called Chester. I've seen others, like in the life of San Salvador, apparently the end of the reputation. Point is, from whichever of these organisations with a bit of love, attention and care, chances still great role models and confident positive young people that have benefited their own country. Otherwise, may have just got involved in the lives of local culture. Points I wish to make more of this God wants to leave us here. And what I've told is that God's love endures forever. Something we need to believe, and I think that's what my own is. Even if, don't get me wrong, at times we will question that. And it will be hard to tell. Even now, I'm potentially retired. And my housemate's still failing post-hospital on a bad day. Well, it seems ages to take care of the answer. Being just as human as everyone else here, we can question God's love. 1 Psalm 1:26 reminds us his promises are true. May the gospel reading today not only reinforces the message of God's love, but gives us further assurance of how important we are too. I'm in the closing statement because that's here. For me, our passage from the Gospel today also tells us 2 other things. It tells us how to live our lives as best as we can and to decide what is important to us and where God fits into all that. Going back to my earlier quote from Martin Luther King, it tells us where the source of real life is. We have to make a choice as to which master we serve. That, I would argue, beating ourselves up on the phone. And again, from someone who is his own worst critic, and that's getting things right. I get that hard, up from this. Finally, the Bible is powerful, and not some fluffy rom-com story. So to me, this passage is telling us something else too, maybe indirectly, which is then becoming more overtly elsewhere in the Bible. But to me, it is also telling us something else. That not only are we loved, not only do we not need to worry because we can ultimately rely on God, but we have a responsibility and a commission to, in our own way, accepting real difference, and as a church, tell others what is all ages, to be there for our neighbour and friend, etc. And serve our concern for the different lives in the marginalised and victim, and model good relations.